the Philippines had the best possible outcome from the International Arbitral Tribunal, or otherwise known also as the Permanent Court of Arbitration. Of the 15 petitions we appealed in our case against China, 14 were granted by the court. And the 15th was not because China won on that one. It is only because the court did not recognize it had jurisdiction over a shoal, which by legal definition is not an island. But true to its bully stance, China refused to acknowledge the ruling, even though it is a signatory to the UNCLOS. China threatened exit from the UNCLOS. Well, I believe that when the dust has settled, I hope China will gradually make concessions, but probably not much. But what we see here is the ugly, uncivilized rule might make right. Even if I sign, if I don't get what I want, I will leave. And that's ugly in diplomacy. But there is an even uglier version in the spiritual realm, and that is turning away from one's professed faith. One's profession of faith is like a signature to the document of God's covenant, but to exit from that because one does not get what he wants is in Christian language called apostasy. And again, I keep explaining, apostasy is not the loss of salvation. It is rather overthrowing the profession of one's faith. Ang tinatawag na pagtalikod ay hindi nangangahulugan na nawawala ang kaligtasan. Hindi nawawala ang kaligtasan, ngunit maari ng isang nag-aangking ligtas at nag-aangkin ng pananampalatayang Kristiyano ay bitawan ang kanyang inaangking pananampalataya. So it is not in danger of being, salvation is not in danger of being lost. True saints persevere in faith. But one of the means of persevering for the believer is by taking heed to the warnings of Scripture. We cannot put these warnings in a box of logic and say, since salvation is not lost, I am saved, the warnings are not for me. That will be putting it in a box of logic which will only dismiss an important means of grace. Those warnings are for all of us who profess the faith of Jesus Christ. So those warnings should be taken seriously, and the Bible is replete with such warnings. And one of the ways by which God warns his people of the danger of apostasy is through specific lives. And we are studying in this brief series one such life, a warning against apostasy. Jeroboam, as we have said, can accommodate two possible meanings for his name. Both has the sense of man of the people. So he was a man of the people. We see that when the laborers rebelled against Rehoboam, he was the designated leader. And yet, this man of the people became the leader also in bringing down to apostasy, down to the path of apostasy, the nation of Israel. And we are tracing his character as portrayed in his early origin, how he eroded later into apostasy. Now, after such heights of success of Solomon, in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, we find a down spiral of his kingship when he married so many women by political reasons, and yet in one of those blunders of Solomon, he went along with the worship of false gods. As a result, Yahweh raised adversaries against Solomon, both from without and within Israel. Now, one of those adversaries within Israel is introduced as Jeroboam. At first, Solomon saw the brilliance of the young Jeroboam, and he gave him charge of his building projects. Kung magaling itong si Jeroboam sa mga pagtatayo ng mga gusali, at siya ang binigyan ng kapamahalaan sa mga proyekto ni Solomon, including the beautifying of the king's palace as well as the fortifying of the capital city of Jerusalem. So Jeroboam's gifts were used for the interest of the kingdom, and yet we see later those very gifts were used against the interest of the kingdom. That's apostasy. By apostasy, gifts used for the Lord's service may turn to the employ of evil. During this period of Solomon's sin against Yahweh, God determined to judge the nation by division. And the man who first came to know of the divine plan through the prophet Ahijah was Jeroboam. Siyang unang nakaalam sa kanya pinahayag ang plano ng Diyos ng parusa sa bansang Israel. Hahatiin niya ito at si Jeroboam ang aangkin ng kalahati at ang katotohanan. Mas malaking bahagi ang mapupunta kay Jeroboam. So we see here Jeroboam introduced to us as a hearer of the word. A hearer of the word of prophecy. And yet something of this retrogress happens in apostasy. By apostasy, delight in the word can turn to irrational hatred. Well, today, let us look within Jeroboam as narrated in our texts. What was it in Jeroboam that led him to the path of apostasy? And again, we will be jumping between passages, short passages. 1 Kings 12, 25 to 27 is our first. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of the people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Then jump to chapter 13, verses 4 to 10. Chapter 13, verses 4 to 10. "And when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, 'Seize him.' And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, 'Entreat now the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me.' And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me, and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward.' And the man of God said to the king, 'If you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, You shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel." Our last passage is chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. "At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise and disguise yourself, that it not be known that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who said of me that I should be king over these people. Take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what shall happen to the child." So here in these passages, the motivation behind the moves of Jeroboam is revealed as that of selfish jealousy. Yung makasarili niyang paninibugho para sa kanyang sarili, ang siyang itinuring dito na motibo sa kanyang mga desisyon at mga kilos. Jeroboam feared that the regular journey to Jerusalem by people from his kingdom will lead to disloyalty. So in other words, he forgot about the promise of Ahijah the prophet, and he simply feared for himself rather than think of the fact that that is the way Yahweh wants his people to worship. He saw the potential of disloyalty on the part of his people. And it was out of this jealousy that Jeroboam made his most serious offense that will lead to apostasy. And my message is this: the initial stage of apostasy is where selfish jealousy prevails in religious motive. Ang pasimulang yugto ng pagtalikod ay kung saan mangibabaw ang makasariling paninimugho sa motibo sa relihiyon. The initial stage of apostasy is where selfish jealousy prevails in religious motive. Now, when we talk of apostasy, we are talking of a religious phenomenon. We do not use the word apostasy when you abandon your job or your certain products or a certain project. That's not apostasy. Apostasy is used only of that religious experience in which one who once professed turns his back to his profession of faith. And the actions of Jeroboam here leading to apostasy were actions of a religious nature, but with a selfish motive. May mga action siya na sa larangan ng relihiyon, ngunit ang pinairal niyang motibo ay makasariling paninibugho, makasariling hangarin na itaas ang sarili. And we see this whether it was in the acts of contention or even in apparent fellowship or company, it was the selfish motive of Jeroboam that emerges. So let us look at those two opposite sides of that selfish jealousy. One is contention for vainglorious honor, sigalot para sa palalong karangalan. Contention for vainglorious honor, and second, company for self-centered design, pakikisama para sa makasariling layon. Company for self-centered design. So whether in contention or company, one can have a selfish motivation. Selfish jealousy can prevail. So we see first contention for vainglorious honor. Jeroboam chose two cities, and the choice of these two cities, the cities of Shechem and Peniel, appears inspired by religious consideration. Shechem was an important city, among the reasons being the place of Mount Gerizim, which would be a very holy place for the people of Samaria and the northern part of Israel. Peniel, on the other hand, had a very important history. Remember, this was the place where Jacob wrestled with the angel, and that is where his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Now, the narrative makes clear that what moved Jeroboam is to counter the religious attraction of Jerusalem. Pumili siya ng mga lungsod kung saan gagawa siya ng mga lugar para panambahan, at ang gusto niyang gawin ay kontrahin o pantayan ang pang-akit ng Jerusalem para hindi na pumunta doon ang mga mamamayan. And you will see that besides these two cities, he would exploit the religious significance of others, such as Bethel. So the cities were chosen because there was religious significance to them, and his purpose is to match the attractions of Jerusalem in order that people will no longer be attracted to go to Jerusalem. Maaaring ang isipin ng mga tao, eh, meron naman pala rito at patay lalayo ng gusto maglakbay sa Jerusalem. At yun ang layunin talaga ni Jeroboam. Hindi niya inisip o hindi nauna sa kanyang isip na ito ang kalooban ng Diyos, na ang pagsamba ay gawin sa Jerusalem, doon sa templo, doon sila hahain, at kinakailangan sa pamagitan ng mga saserdoteng nasaan kaniya aron. But all of those considerations went away because selfish jealousy prevailed over Jeroboam. Here we see that self-glory is the fuel to the erosion of genuine spirituality by provoking contentions. Ang pagpaparangal sa sarili ang panggatong sa pagkawasak ng totoong karanasan ng Espiritu. At ang malimit na kinakasangkapan, sigalot. Jeroboam felt that he was in a continuing contention with Rehoboam for the loyalty of the people. And he sees the cities available to him as an extension of that rivalry. Now, if you read the whole passage, we didn't have time to read it, but if you read the passage just before our first passage, Rehoboam, in fact, prepared to invade Israel. But a prophet gave the word from the Lord and told him not to proceed. And Rehoboam obeyed the prophet. So in other words, because of the prophetic word, Rehoboam had no ambition of proceeding with his contention with Jeroboam. Rehoboam was not minded with such vainglorious rivalry with Jeroboam. Jeroboam, in other words, was pursuing a mere shadow. It had enveloped his whole motivation. His actions, which were supposed to be for religious purposes, were to keep people's loyalty to him and to keep it from what he thought was his main rival, Rehoboam. And because of the power of this motive of self-centered glory, he has forgotten the word of Ahijah. Remember the words of Ahijah in 11:38 of 1 Kings, "If you will listen to all that I command you and will walk in my ways and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, I will be with you and will build you a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Ayan ang pagtitiyak ni Ahijah sa kanya. Kung sumunod ka at sundin mo ang mga tuntunin ng salita ng Diyos, huwag kang mag-alala tungkol sa iyong paghahari, sa iyong dynasty. Magpapatuloy ito kung paano ipinagpatuloy ang kay David. But Jeroboam forgot all of that. He simply felt the threat because his mind was so defined by the rivalry with Rehoboam. If Jeroboam had obeyed, I'm convinced he would not have to worry about the loyalty of the people of his kingdom. But you see, self-glory cannot entrust that to God. It's his rivals and contenders where there is none. And I say that this is the initial stage of apostasy. If there is one thing I learned from my pastoral experience, full-blown apostasy is often preceded by a contentious spirit. Lahat nakikipagtalo. He sees wrong in everything. He imputes false motives. Fault-finding defines his thinking of brethren. That contentious spirit makes one suspect every sincere attempt to reach out to him. Every well-meant admonition is taken badly as contempt for him. It wounds his pride. Ganyan ang nangyayari sa espiritu na hinuhubog ng kanyang sigalot sa kapatiran. Lahat ay minamasama. Lahat ay pinupuna. And it may be the shield you are using to fend off gospel conviction. You see everything wrong with Christians. You see so many things wrong with the church. And instead of gospel conviction penetrating into your mind, you always fend it off by saying, "Why is he like that? Why is she like this?" Instead of seeing the claims of Christ, you would rather live with fault-finding. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." And this can happen to a professing Christian. Proverbs 29:1, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Take this as a warning against apostasy. For if you look hard enough, there are things you can criticize of anyone. But that's just the point. you probably are looking too hard. Rather than seeing the claims of Christ and the holy word of God, you always see things that are at fault. Well, you may have heard of cases filed against former President Pinoy on the very first day that he was a private citizen. Well, he may have things to answer, but I just thought that that was so unbecoming. After 6 years of service, on the first day that you are a private citizen, ang unang bumulaga sa'yo ay demanda. Eh, sana pinagpahinga na muna. Pero ang point ay, eto ang parang pinakahihintay nila, eto na. At may mga ganyang mag-isip, naghihintay na magkamali, naghihintay na may masabing hindi tama. And without realizing, they are surrounded with blessing, with pleas of the word, and they can't hear it because they're so enmeshed in critical thinking and fault-finding. So I challenge you, examine your motive for contention in a spiritual cause. I will be the last to deny that there is no place for contention. Having been seasoned in some controversies, I know the necessity of some contention for the cause of the truth. But I say, examine your motive. During his stay in Peniel, where Jacob wrestled with the angel, did Jeroboam even meditate, took time to reflect why Jacob was wrestling with the angel? All his life had been contentions. Contention with his father Isaac. Contention with his twin brother Esau. Contention with his uncle Laban. You know, God shows him, contend with me. And God dislocated his hip bone so that throughout his lifetime, his limp would be a constant reminder you cannot live in contention with God. May God deliver us from the contentious spirit to prevail in the assemblies of the church. Because when that happens, 1 Corinthians 11:17 and 18 tell us, you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I mean, can you imagine that? An assembly that turns for the worse? Why? Paul says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions or contentions among you. Well, thankfully, it is not happening now to us as a church. But is there someone in whom this is the case? After 23 years of faithful service, the unimaginable happened to Jonathan Edwards. His church in Northampton excommunicated him. But prior to that excommunication, the church was racked with contentions, both of a personal and doctrinal kind. And they did one of the worst things that has been done in history, to cast out a faithful laborer. Again, may God deliver us from such a contentious spirit, because we are all sinners saved by grace as members of this church, and we need to support each other rather than contend with one another. But even if you look at Jeroboam's attempts at fellowship, that jealous, selfish motive still prevails. So the second point is company for self-centered design. Sasamahan na makasarili ang kanyang layon. In dealing with the man of God, first, he had him arrested. But then, he was afflicted in his hand. Well, tinuturo raw niya, dakpin yan. Abay, hindi na niya maibalik yung kanyang kamay. Kaya ang sumunod niyang sinabi, nakiusap na. Entreat the Lord for me and heal my hand. And when it was healed, the words of Jeroboam were, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. So hypocritical. But we learn here that an ulterior design of personal interest is destructive of fruitful communion with God. Kapag may layunin tayong tago na makasarili, sisirain ito ang tunay ng pakikipagniig sa Diyos at sa kapatiran. It is instructive again to note the place where this transpired, Bethel. Remember Bethel? Jacob, a fugitive escaping from the wrath of Esau, rested in that desert which had no name yet. But in that desert, he had a dream of a staircase with angels rising and descending to heaven. And then he said, God is here. I shall call this Bethel, the house of God. Bethel should have reminded Jeroboam, this is where Jacob had communion with God. But instead, he used the occasion to arrest someone whose message he did not like, and when it went against him, he then turned to the ways of hypocrisy by suggesting company. Now, that invitation for company is to exploit the prophet's presence to be seen as endorsement of his idolatry. So ask yourself, what is your design for the fellowship of the saints? Why do you come to church? You don't answer that to me. You answer that to God, and God knows. What is your design for fellowship in the assemblies of the church? Because if you have an ulterior design, that explains why the word cannot get through to you. It's like pretending to talk on the phone while you have an earphone to your MP. You can't hear it. You can't hear God's word because you're occupied with your selfish motives. So my challenge is seek the engagement of your soul with God in every means of grace. Hanapin mo na talagang makipag-ugnayan ka sa Diyos, sa iyong kaluluwa, sa bawat kasangkapan ng biyaya na iyong ginagamit. The last text we read is when Jeroboam was in a crisis, a dying son. I like to believe that by naming the son Abijah, he still had some fond memories of Ahijah, the prophet, but he was dying. And remember, a dying son, besides the personal pain, a dying son of a king is a threat to his dynasty. That's when he finally remembered the man who started it, Ahijah. He sent his wife disguised. And you know why? Because he wants Ahijah to utter a prophetic word of favor which he considers self-fulfilling. So kung hindi niya makilala, ay magsasalita ng mabuting propesiya. But of course, Ahijah was given revelation who was that woman coming. And the result was that the child died anyway. So we see here Jeroboam in his apostate state. The prophetic ministry was nothing to him but as a source of gain. Get my son to live. Make sure my dynasty perpetuates. And this is a symptom of increasing apostasy when the means of grace make no encounter with God. And that's what you need to ask and examine. Do you still have encounter with God in the assembly of the church when the preached word comes to you? When you have fellowship with the saints, do you have encounter with God? We are much more favored with a complete word, not just prophecy. But the question remains, do you engage God? With a man of God, Jeroboam had no engagement with God. He only wanted the healing of his hand and the endorsement of the prophet's presence to his idolatry. With Ahijah, again, there was no engagement with God. All he wanted was a prophetic utterance to gain favor for his dying son. No real engagement with God. And how many times do you have the means of grace right before you and yet no engagement with God? George Whitefield was once traveling and he took rest in a minister's house. He was just preaching and he saw the minister shedding tears. This minister was quite well known as a man who preached the doctrines of grace. And when he asked him why he was crying, he confessed, "Until I heard you tonight, I have not known the power of this truth to my heart." He's been preaching it. He has been trafficking with the truth, the doctrines of grace, without knowing it in his heart. And that same danger can afflict any of us. So search deep into the motive of your soul and heart. In the religious activities of Jeroboam, from the choice of religiously significant cities to his engagement with prophets, gone was that Jeroboam who earlier humbly heard the word of prophet Ahijah. He has been hardened by his selfishness, by his jealousy, and keeping the loyalty of the people to himself rather than mindful that both the people and himself as king should be loyal to Yahweh. So this afternoon, examine yourself. Where does your loyalty lie? Where does your engagement with the means of grace lead? Is it leading to an engagement with God? Or examine whether you are into contentions, because that too is a symptom of increasing apostasy. May the Lord seal this warning to your hearts. Remember again, the warning is a means to perseverance. Let us sing our last hymn, which is a reminder of how frail we can be, and yet by the grace of God, there is the means to persevere. Thee will I love, my strength, my power. In the third verse, it prays, "Uphold me in the doubtful race, nor suffer me again to stray." May that be our prayer, that we will not stray from our God. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, mabuti naming Ama, tulungan mong seryosohin namin ang babala sa buhay ni Jeroboam, kung paanong maging sa gitna ng mga gawaing relihiyon at panambahan ay umiral ang aming makasariling mga motibo at paghahangad ng parangal sa sarili. Help us, Father, to examine our hearts with full honesty, especially when we are in contention, for that contention can be a way of hiding our flight from the examination of your word. We look around us and we tend to see many wrong things that blind us to the one right thing we should be coming to grips with, and that is the invitation of your word, the conviction of the gospel, and the appeals of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Speak to those who are in such a condition that they may forget their contentious spirit and come face to face with the gospel. And this can happen to us as brethren. So grant, Lord, that we may truly examine ourselves, and if we look hard enough, indeed we can see many wrong things, for we are all sinners. We are all earthen vessels. Yet you have put us together so that as struggling saints who are still sinners, we may help one another in the path of holiness. grant that our church will be such a venue of mutual help and support and acceptance despite our imperfections. Grant also that our fellowship and company with one another will not be beset with self-centered design as Jeroboam did to the man of God and even to Ahijah, where the means of grace is right before him, but there is no encounter with God. And that can happen to us. We can be right in the middle of the means of grace, of the sound of the word, of the fellowship of the saints, yet no engagement with God. So grant that we may examine ourselves and make sure that when we are in the midst of the means of grace, above all, it is our communion with you that will matter most. So we pray that we may be warned of this selfishness that can prevail in our religious motives, and grant that we may truly humble ourselves and seek your grace, that we may be sincere, truthful, and seek encounter with God in all that we do in the means of grace. Apply this to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.